Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to On the Edge Radio Show, Katie Barnett and Friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Today's topic, as I've been discussing all week and announcing all week, is very important. It's about youth crimes and how do our youth get lured in. Two specific stories that come into play when I thought of this was, one was the father, Greg Horn, in Dayton, Ohio, that had been arrested for disciplining his daughters because they were actually inviting themselves to be victims of crime by creating a video in their room of themselves twerking and sending it out to Facebook to a bunch of boys, girls, whoever it is that would make them a victim. And also, just here recently in Queens, New York, where we're from, was a 14-year-old girl that was coming home from a Sweet 16 party on the bus. Her name was Deja Robinson. She was just buried a couple of days ago because there were young guys on the bus, part of a gang, shooting up on the bus, and she became a innocence in the crossfire victim. So much crime is being committed by our youth, and there are so many more youthful victims and youthful offenders. And as a mom and as a youth advocate, this is something that's very disturbing to me because the youth are our future. If we don't nurture them now or try to find a way to reach out to the ones that can be saved, we're going to have a really terrible generation coming up. I have a special guest today who's a youth advocate out in Toledo, Ohio. He's a deacon for a church that's out there, and it's called Family Baptist Church, and he will be speaking with me in a few. I just want to continue to speak a little bit more about this situation that took place out here in Queens. I was a little disturbed because I was looking at some of the feedback that a few other people, I guess who are not out here, posted on a forum, a live chat forum, and a few of the things that were said was, where was this girl's mom? Or father, or parents, where was the guidance? And I thought that was a little disturbing because this child wasn't coming home at midnight with a bunch of friends. She was coming home from a Sweet 16 party that she, her cell phone and her parents were giving her a strict curfew. She had to call in when she was getting there. She had to be reported to her parents and be home by this time. And the crime that happened to her really had nothing to do with her being an unruly child. What it had to do with was she was on a bus coming home and people who were doing things they shouldn't have been doing got her mixed up in something she wasn't even involved with. She wasn't involved with the fight. She wasn't involved with the game. But she lost her life anyway. That was a little sad to me. It's a little disturbing. One of the other things that made me think about it was that the youth in our day, the youth in our day had way more of that village to raise a child factor and structure that is not happening with the youth today. The youth today have way more deeper challenges and harder things to deal with and a lot less support in place. which is one of the things that this show is constantly trying to do, is to bridge that gap between communities and their leaders and community and the youth, and to see what we can do to make a difference. The other thing, for those of you who are newcomers, that our mission is to help bridge the gap for those of us struggling out there that's trying to start a business or get their music heard. We're not producers. We are definitely not any investors or anything, but we do have a channel where you can post your business. If you're a single mom in the neighborhood and you babysit, if you offer tutoring services, if you can do hair, if you make baskets, things to that effect, we can post it on our market page, and we will give you an honorary mention during our segments to help you get seen by someone who can help you make a difference, save you on the cost of advertising, save you on trying to find anything extra with funds that you're probably already stretching. It doesn't just apply to single mothers, it applies to anyone else that's out there. Okay, thank you very much for indulging me on that. Getting back to the topic at hand, we have seen that a lot of the children nowadays are just a lot more bolder. They're a lot more unruly. A lot of them really don't know the difference between having respect for authority or having respect for themselves either. We see a lot more gang involvement. We see a lot more homosexuality between children. We see a lot more children, young girls being on the street dressed up a little more raunchy, I guess, than we would ever know in our day. Excuse me on that one. The next thing that I get bothered by is there really isn't a lot of respect for things that made us think twice about the things that we would do. For example, our generation respected churches. Even the criminals had a culture at that time where they wouldn't dare to try to go after their target in front of a church or in front of an elderly person or a woman and child. And none of that seems to be in place anymore. The reason why I brought this topic up today was because there's a lot more to how these children get lured in by the criminals than you think. It's not just the sneaking texts anymore. It's not just Facebook. These criminals are seasoned people that are actually watching your children. Okay, they're watching your children play. They're watching the way your children complain about things that they're going through. They're listening to young men and young women, okay, which really I'm interpreting that to be young girls and young boys, complain about they don't feel sexy enough. Their moms and dads are making them feel like kids. They're not able to do things that they feel they can do and that they're mature enough to do, but as the parent, we're saying no. And so these criminals have a way of catering to each age group. So I want to really explain this. I have been in a situation where a child that was precious and close to me was taken, and a few of her friends as well. Okay, got involved with something that traumatized them and actually destroyed pretty much most of what they were used to and what they were capable of doing for a positive future for themselves, because they got exposed to something that they shouldn't have even known about, even in the worst of movies. These criminals are watching your children in the schoolyard. They're actually looking at 12-year-olds and figuring that the way they're going to cater to them is by saying that they're finding these young girls attractive, seductive, sexy, that they're beautiful, and that they want to be their boyfriends. And for the young men of that age, they're catering to them with the boys' needs to feel like young men instead of boys. So they're offering them responsibilities. And you know what these responsibilities mostly entail? Being recruiters for girls their age to go in there and pretend that they want to date. Probably one of the girls that feel that they have such bad self-esteem about themselves that they're not the prettiest girl or the popular girl. And these young boys looking for responsibility are being recruited by these seasoned criminals to bring these girls into their circle. More than likely, you won't see this child again the same way. And if you do, you'll see them very destroyed, or you'll see them in jail, or not see them at all because they fell victim to some fate. The other thing is that the young boys are just as much at risk, like I just told you. When you, if you get them from ages, you know, 12 to 14, they're dealing with the security, the feeling more adult, the feeling more sexy. And if you're dealing with them from 15 to 16 to 17, they want to feel like they're able to be independent. They can go out there and make decisions that we as their parents know they definitely can't do. They're not made for that. But they think they can. And so what happens is these seasoned guys come in and go, your mom doesn't know what she's talking about. You can. I'll show you. You can make some money. You can have your own stuff. And it's scary because while we're busy monitoring their phones and monitoring their TV programs and monitoring their Facebook activity, they're being targeted right at their schools, the places that they that we send them to have some sort of security while we're away. Or while we're at work. How do we stop this? How do we stop this? Okay. Well, most of the things that us parents do anyway is we have to make sure these children feel secure in what they have and who they are. That's one thing. And these are just suggestions because, Lowe's, I'm no psychological expert, but I am a mom. I've seen things happen, and I hear children talking about the things that they wish they could have, and they don't understand the difference between something that you'll get later. It's something that you'll get later in life. You do for it, but not right now. You're able to handle the responsibility that comes along with that particular thing you're looking for, and that there's no rush on sex, because sex is going to be around, and you know something? It's going to be around a long time in many formats. And the other thing that we need to understand is we do need to have our eyes on our children, regardless of how tired we are or how much we feel they're secure. No matter how secure they are, we still have to be twice as much more secure, because there's a predator in almost everybody nowadays. That teacher that you might be trusting to take your child may be just the main one looking out after them, but not in the way they should be, in the way that they're looking after their own needs. Which is a scary thought, I understand, but it's the world we live in. Mainly what I've seen happen is a lot of these children turn criminals have parents that think that they're their friends. And you cannot be a parent and a friend. And I've said this a million times. I know you've heard this from Katie. But you cannot be children's friend and be their parent. You can't. I'm going to give the same example I've given all the time. Cannot use the excuse that you're smoking weed to your 14-year-old child because you rather that they do it with you than against you. Or behind your back. That's the idea. If they're running out there because they don't want to disrespect you, that means you're doing your job. If you sit there and you pick up a joint with them, exactly where is the line blurred at? Where exactly is the difference that they know that, look, I could do that stuff outside behind my parents' back, but when I come home, I better clean it up quick. Where is the discipline, the consequence? Where is them understanding that no matter how common it is out there, you say no. In this house, it's not acceptable. Where does that happen if you're going to sit there and be your child's friend? Part of what inspired me to move this along was, as I mentioned earlier, was the father that got arrested for disciplining his children on a video. And what I find very disturbing about that is, first of all, most of us watching that video, while it seemed to be very harsh, let's ask the question that if he had not taken that wire and beat his, let me make this clear, his fully clothed, double-layered clothing children for twerking their very underage bodies on a video for the world to see. If they had not done it that way to give them a message, what would have happened if them girls had gotten into the hands of a pimp that they were short a dollar of the mandatory $1,000 they got to bring in a night on their back? And what would have society said to that man had that happened? Society would have said that where was the father or the parental guidance, because that's exactly what would have happened. Because this society is very unforgiving and a very double-edged sword society. They want their cake and want to eat it too, because nobody wants to take the blame for not being more enforcement, law enforcing on these criminals and catching them quicker. And if these girls had gotten become victims of prostitution or some other horrific crime, once again, it would have been back to his father. But he got arrested for it. Another show this week will be tackling government interference with parenting. In the meantime, I'd like to call in my guest. This is Deacon Zeddy Williams from Toledo, Ohio, the Family Baptist Church. He's involved with advocating for community youth problems that's going on out there, and he wants to share a few things that's going on. So just give me about 2 seconds, and I will be back in three.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Mr. Williams, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, hello. Welcome to the On the Air show. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Welcome to the On the Edge radio show. Please tell my callers, my listeners, sorry, where you're from and what you do.
I'm from Toledo, Ohio. My name is Deacon Zeddy Williams, and I represent Family Baptist Church, and my pastor is Pastor Charles McBee.
Okay. Well, you know that the topic tonight is about youth crimes and how to get Lord in it. And I'm speaking about all the outer factors of what allows these criminals to bring our youth in. I'd like to hear what's going on with you and what it is that you've seen and what you're doing out there.
Okay. My position here in Toledo is that I work with a lot of the young people here, and a lot of them are gang members. And I pretty much are in touch on what they're doing because I've been there and done that. I'm a former gang member myself from years ago, and I'm originally from Brooklyn. So I'm kind of in touch on what some of these young men are dealing with. First of all, the problem is with some of these young men is that the age group, like, say, from 40 on to 55, say, as men, have dropped the ball with these young men out here, and that's why a lot of them are on the streets, because they don't have anybody to teach them, but you have people constantly want to talk about them, and they feel like nobody really cares about them, and that's not the case. And whenever I come in contact with any of them, I let them know, hey, I love you, I care about you, if you need anything, just, you know, talk to me. A lot of their parents at home are just pushing them out in the streets. They don't want to take time with them. A lot of them are young kids, basically, themselves. And one of the other problems that I see is that we've distanced ourselves away from God. And that has been a problem for a long time. You know, this country was founded on Christianity. And for this country to be starting to distance itself from God, you can see all of the problems that we have, and not just in our communities, but in the rest of the world. You know, people need to take notice and sit back and look at and pay attention to what's going on.
Absolutely. If I can just interject here for 1 minute, two of the things that I found to be a contributing factor, and by the way, tomorrow's episode is going to be focusing on the role that the community and church leaders actually play in destruction of the community and the youth, and not so much that they're doing anything directly, but as you just mentioned, back in our day, church had its own like royal, regal all about it. You pass
yes.
by, and there used to be rectories open no matter what time of day, whether you were a Catholic server or not. You can walk into a Catholic rectory and light a candle and pray. Even criminals
right.
felt that way. You felt like welcome no matter what caliber of citizen you were. Nowadays,
mm-hmm.
it seems more like these children are being more pointed fingered at by the adults rather than somebody stepping in to help them. Now, is that what's going on out there?
Well, basically what's going on here, it seems like the city government here doesn't seem to even care, because they're not doing anything to get in contact with these young men that are out here on the streets. And that's very sad, because I've lost several family members. I have 38 grandchildren, and I have 19 great-grands. A lot of them are out here. It's a lot of times you have good parents out here, and once your children get to an age to where they figure they're making decisions for themselves, they have to make choices on their own. Some of them make good choices, some of them make bad choices. You know, and there are a lot of them that's gotten swayed by some of the older people out here that are out here career criminals, and they catch these children out here that are not having a good time at home or in some type of disagreement with their parents, and they prey on that.
Wow, yeah.
Seems like the city government is not establishing any type of programs set up for them to go to, you know, and from my experience, I'm a block watch leader where I live at, and
okay.
I've been told by some of the police officers when I've tried to bring them information that they don't give a damn who I am once I identify myself, and that's kind of crazy. Yeah, it is sad. Yeah.
That's sad, because like I said, there used to be a very big respect and reverence for authority, and nowadays it seems like you get street credit for, you know, killing a cop or beating up a priest. A friend of mine in Michigan, his cousin had a funeral, and the criminals came right into the funeral service started shooting up during the funeral service. And I thought that
I don't know how bad it is there in New York. I just come back from a trip there. So it didn't seem like as bad as it is here, because just before I visited New York, I had just lost a godson that was shot at a gas station in the back of his head because of a rap. And my grandson was with him, so now he has a bullet lodged in his jaw over a rap, over some words. You know, when we were coming up, we would talk. But, you know, if somebody has some words for you, words can't hurt you. I mean, they'll roll right off your back. You know, and then you have a lot of these children that are being raised and figure, well, it makes you a man to go and get a gun. When we were raised, we take it out with our fists, and then we could live and talk about it the next day. But that's not the case this time, because you feel like you make a name for yourself when you go out there and get a gun, and you can put a bullet in someone. And it's crazy out here. And it seems like every night is like a firing range I can hear right outside my door.
Wow.
It's constant every night. Every night. We have speakers that come here to speak, but they go and speak at these universities. Why don't some of these speakers that are so-called leaders come into the neighborhood, come here in the hood and speak to the people that live in this neighborhood that eat, sleep, and drink this type of violence over here every day? You know, there's a high school that's right here. They can come and speak at Scott High School. That's right in the heart of the neighborhood. That's where they need to come and address some of these issues. And let's see if we can work together to come up with some type of solutions for these young men. Because right now the city seems like it wants them and it has things set up for them to be out here just constantly killing one another. And that's not right.
Absolutely. And my philosophy also is, if you're an adult and you're seeing a child that, you know that children act out, obviously something inside of them. You know, it's not always what you see. And I feel that what chance does the youth have if we're supposed to be the ones guiding them and we're their leaders, but we're pointing the fingers like society is? Same holds true with church. With church, you're supposed to be able to come to church and as you are and learn as you go. And the thing that happens is if a child is out of the street and they wearing short skirts and they can listen to any music that they want and they can dress the way they want and they're being talked about, but then they go to the church and they have to be, according to them, you got to come with long skirts if you're a girl. You have to come in with no makeup and you can't talk, you know, listen to music, certain things. Okay, so, and then they're going to that church and they're being talked about. Where are they going to see that there's a difference in the world with less restrictions and in the church with more restrictions? So where does Jesus and God and, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Right, it kind of makes them kind of disgruntled with the churches. I'm a member of a very good church. My pastor is a very very in touch pastor within the community. But the churches that are in my immediate area, I've approached them, I've gone to them and talked to some of the pastors there, and I get like the door shut in my face. I mean, you're supposed to be part of the body of Christ. You're supposed to be out here bringing God's word into the community, not stand behind your doors at the church. You're supposed to come out into the world and spread God's word, and that is not what they're doing. And you have some of the kids that don't even want to hear anything that a minister says because they feel like they don't understand where they're coming from or they're out of touch with them. You know, a lot of them, you get them when they come to the church, they want to talk about them instead of teaching them. They have their T's twisted, in my opinion. You know, you have to teach a child in the way they should go, not talk about them.
Absolutely. Or you should talk with them to teach them. One of the other
That's
things
right.
I think that parents make a mistake with or probably don't know, because our parents certainly did, they're being so far removed in age from us. You cannot have the baby comes from a stork combination with your child nowadays.
Right.
Okay? You cannot have these you know, like, let's close our eyes and, you know, oh, stars type conversations, because this is a very brash and bold generation. And I believe wholeheartedly that if we are at straight talk with our children and all of these issues that are definitely part of their puberty and growing up, they can remember that if you smoke cigarettes, okay, if you're a smoker or you want to smoke, you need to share that with this thing. I'm smoking and it's hard for me to get rid of this. I'm trying to struggle. Why would you want to start that? You tell them, look, see the holes in my ears? I used to have earrings in my ear too as a guy. If you tell them that, look, sex definitely is natural. It could even be pleasant. It will be ready for right now. But the tingling that you got right now going on, that's perfectly normal. Nothing to be ashamed of. But you don't need to be dealing with that right now, because past the physical pleasure comes the mental responsibility. And you're not ready for that. You understand?
Right.
If they could hear that from their own parents, they could understand that we're not aliens that they think we are. We did have zit problems. We wore thick glasses. We were poor once. We were kicked in school. You know, we used to be one of having to say certain things. Our children and us and the TV feel that, what do you know? You're already a grown-up. Everybody listens to you. But we didn't become grown-ups at birth.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We weren't grown-ups.
And another thing I have a problem with is today is that you have your government that tries to tell you how to discipline your child. Okay, if there's a big difference between discipline and abuse when it comes to your child. Those are two
Absolutely.
Different things. Now, if I discipline my child and the child decides to call the police or something, you know, and they come to me and say, well, they're going to arrest me for child abuse. Okay, child abuse, have you seen me draw any blood? You know, and then discipline, you don't just discipline a child. After you punish them, you sit down and you explain to them why they were punished. A lot of this is not happening with the parents now. And then some of the parents that try and discipline them, they wait so long until they're so far gone to try and discipline. It's too late. It's too late. You have to start them when they are very young. You know, and then a lot of these parents some of them that I've met, they sit around and want to get high with their kids, and it's just disgraceful, really.
Right, it is.
It really is.
And it's disgraceful, but in the same token, so we have time. As long as this earth is going, there's a child in your neighborhood, we have time to say, listen, what's going on with you? And for those nosy neighbors that we used to have, that while they were annoying to us, they most saved our lifetimes and our character. We need to get more of them back, and instead of them pointing fingers, they need to figure out what's going on. Now, there's something that a local person out here does, because he says, I'm the last of the hopes, you know, the last of the hopefuls. And what he does is, there's a couple of young men that he sees that he knows deep down inside don't want to do what they're doing. So he tells them, listen, I've got a couple of jobs for you. You can come and rake the church grass leaves, and you get $10, you know, if it's a good job. But if you're on and I catch you on the corner, you can forget it. You know, so now $10 in this day and age, even for our kids, it's nothing, but it's their $10. So it started working. So three of those boys, three of the five that he tried to reach to, three of them actually want to come cut the grass every week rather than stand in the park to smoke weed. So I thought that was a small but relevant gesture. That's what we all can do. All of us are not, we're not rich. All of us are not political leaders. But we can make a difference one person at a time. Now, I'm a mom of many, so I say that I can make a difference by the amount of kids in my family being who I am. It's my responsibility. And the way I tell everybody all the time, me and my children have this big debate. They think I'm old-fashioned, part of the millennium, because there's things that I tell them I don't want to hear or see or you can't do. So they go, it's 2013, Mom. Who does that anymore? And I said, well, out there, it's 2013, and that's the world I can't control. But in my house, it's 1986, and I'm the boss.
Right.
So as much as that still is going to be a head-butting fight, and believe me, it's still no guarantee that your children are going to grow out there and say, no, I'm not going to do this because my mom said, at least as long as they're in my house under my roof and I keep that no intact, I'm doing all I can to send a better adult out into the world.
Right.
And that's all you can do. That's all you can do is do your best and never back
down. Yeah, and that's really basically what I do here is like the house that I live in right now is I'm the only house on this block that is not boarded up, right?
Wow.
But the whole time I have been here, and I've been here in this community for so long that I have street cred, right? So if I see somebody that's doing something wrong, I correct them. And a lot of them, their parents, they know me. I know their parents. I know their grandparents because a lot of them I knew since they were kids. So they basically know that Mr. Williams does not play. So if you're doing anything around Mr. Williams' house, you better watch yourself. You know, so I basically have that type of effect on the community over here. But what I'm trying to say is that the way you were talking about how you had your nosy neighbors and everything like that. But it has to start at the child's home. If the parents are not doing what they're supposed to do as a parent, it's going to be a waste of time. Because everything as far as discipline, respect, and everything is supposed to start at the home. And if it's not happening there, excuse me?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, and what I was trying to say was, if it doesn't start at home, you know, it needs to start somewhere. And that's why I try to be that voice here in the community, and I get a lot of respect from some of these young men. I had took 25 of these young people at one time and collected all of their guns and turned it into the police station.
Wow.
25 of them. Now, I told them, I said, you know, I don't know if you guys think my head screws off or I have a zipper in my neck. I say, I know you have access to get more guns. I said, but I really respect what you did do. You know, I have to give them some type of credit and give them and reward them in some type of way. I try to have little block parties, or if I have something over to my house, I do hot dogs, hamburgers, and stuff like that, and let them know. Hey, and if you are out here, and if you're living in a home where you're thinking you're being abused, or you're not being respected, or you're not listened to, I'm an ear, and I'm here for you. You know, and I tell the kids all the time, hey, I love you, I care about you. If you have a problem, you can come. My house is right here. My door is open to you. And that's what a lot of us need to start back doing. You have a lot of these adults that walk around here and act like they're scared of these young people. These young people need to be taught. That's why they're out here doing some of the things they do. How do they know some of the things that they do that everybody knows right from wrong? But if you have somebody constantly that's breathing down your neck, like I had at one time, some of the things I did I shouldn't have done. I made decisions on my own. But thank God that I'm here today, because I never thought I would live to be 18 years old. At one point in my life, I was labeled a menace to society. I was basically run out of New York, but there was a judge that saw something in me. I was looking at 10 to 15 years in the penitentiary, and he saw something in me and gave me a choice. You do 3 years in the military, or you can go do these 10 to 15 years. So me, I was a wise guy and thought I was going to get slick on him and say, well, I'll do these 3 years in the military standing on my head. But what I didn't know, he had already made plans to have me sent there and had the military base was waiting on me to get off of that bus, and I didn't know that. But at that time, I didn't realize that God had his hand on me then, and that's when I started turning my life around. And that's why God shows me every day, you didn't think you would live to be 18, but I'm keeping you here for a reason. So I'm here to try and reach out to some of these young men that are out here in these gangs and talk to them and let them know, hey, there's nothing but death and long time stretches of jail time. You know, so if I could just reach one or two here or there, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and I feel good about that.
Absolutely. Mr. Williams, thank you. My part of the show is coming to an end, and I've got to introduce the next segment. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Oh, and thank you. And I just want to commend you of the job that you're doing, even though your show is brand new. This is something fresh that I feel is needed, you know, everywhere. There's something like this needs to be spread across the whole United States, you know, and get people to talk about things that normally that is not being talked about on radio. So I really want to commend you on that and say God bless you.
Well, thank you very much. And please help spread the word because we really are trying to make a difference with the show. Okay?
I truly will. You'll probably be hearing from a lot of my church members, so I'm really going to recommend that they listen in to you.
All right. Thank you so very much, Mr. Williams, okay? And I actually will probably be calling you in for the follow-up show.
Okay. No problem.
All right.
All right. Be blessed.
Have a good one.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye. Hi, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be going to break, and I'm going to introduce my partner, DJ Dome Record, with our new segment, The Stage. We'll be discussing news, and I'll be back in 3, okay? Thanks.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Now that was Turn Up by Jive Music. All right, this is Welcome to the Stage. My name is DJ Domewrecker, also known as Rodney Williams. A few of you might know, a few of you might not. So let's start a few intros here. Brooklyn born in bed, 41 years old, vinyl DJ, best vinyl DJ in the world. Ha. Been 23 years, done radio, did college radio, did some radio out on WGBB 40 AM radio, about in the late 90s, early 2000s. I have also have had the opportunity to play a variety of clubs and lounges all throughout New York through the past 23 years, everything from the Tunnel to Bar Below Brooklyn, back in the day, Webster Hall in the early 2000s, you name the format, I have played it, and I've had a great deal of fun. I also used to do some music journalism, late 90s, early 2000s. I wrote for Beatdown, which was one of the first hip-hop newspapers that came out during the 1990s. I was editor for a short time there. I also used to write for Fly Magazine. If you're not familiar with Fly Magazine, it's a lot like Black Beat and Fresh Magazine back in the day. You know, used to have all the articles and the posters and everything like that. So, you know, I used to do a lot of writing, did a lot of interviewing, and used to do a lot of interviewing and feature writing. I did record reviews, and record reviews were a big thing for me just because, in addition to just being a DJ, I am also a record collector. And I collected a lot of records, a lot of very rare records. I'm probably one of the few from my DJ that I came up with remained a final DJ. No Serato, at least not yet. But we'll see about that. I always tell everybody that I prefer to go ahead and play like I'm bringing my back by bringing my crates and my bags full of wax. I'm actually putting into work. No disrespect to any of those DJs who've been putting in work just as long, if not longer, than I have. But there's just nothing like a little bit of analog sound, a little bit of that snap, crackle, pop that's coming off of a piece of wax. So tonight, in a little bit, I'm going to actually spin for you and put on some classics. I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing. I'll just say that it's classics. I did a couple of recent events. Just recently did something at Therapy Wine Bar this past Saturday that went over very well, all vinyl affair, a little brunch into early evening joint that I did. Shout out to my people from York College who came through, supported me, some of the folks who used to work with me at ycradio.org over there. Shout out to M-Tri, my man MC, who amazing MC, and actually his wife, an amazing DJ, VCT, who spins all different types of music in her format. So I want to shout them out. I want to shout out Rain Rodriguez, who's also a publicist, who's been a very good friend of mine, and who we've talked all types of industry stuff, and great person to know. I'll definitely be talking about her on future shows, and just trying to inform you guys of anything. If you guys want to give a call in, give us a call here, 347-327-9967. That's the call-in number that you can reach us at. What other things could I tell you about? Okay, well, listen. I'm probably one of the few people that you will ever listen to on air who's a DJ who's a father of six. I am a very proud father of six. I have five daughters, one boy. It's two sets of twins in there.
Uh-huh.
Yes. I have, and I have a grandson, so hey, listen, I am a proud family man. That's one thing I will tell you about myself. Very few, you know, a lot of people don't particularly like to talk about their families on the air, you know, along with their doing with their music, but I got to tell you something, that since day one, my children have been my inspiration as far as a lot of the music things that I do, and all of them have experienced what it's like to be around Dad or Daddy Dome Record or what have you. When I play, I over the years I've had a great relationship with Halcyon, which currently is a record store based in the Dumbo section of Brooklyn, down under Manhattan Bridge overpass. But in the early days, they used to be a record store slash cafe slash used furniture store over on Smith Street in the Carroll Gardens section of Brooklyn. And my kids, when they would come up to New York with, you know, for vacation, would actually come with me some of my time days and experience what it's like to, you know, to play a lot of really just great music, class music, jazz, disco, funk, all types of music, you know. So the kids definitely know, and even the younger kids. I have my children range in age between the oldest is 20, and the younger twins are 6. You know, so all of them have had an opportunity to experience just like what all that is. All of what my life is about. They love that it's about music, but they're first. So, you know, I have two passions in life. First is my children, and then it's music. Let's see, what other things can we talk about? Well, I'll tell you what, it's an honor for me to be able to do this show for the first time. You know, on Memorial Day. So we're going to hope that the mix that I'm going to do is memorable. We're just trying to make sure that they work correctly, so then I can go ahead, get on these tables, and get things jumping off. Again, if you guys want to give a call in, it's 347-327-9967. If you would like to contact me, actually, let me make sure you guys know how to spell my name. It's DJ Domreka. That's Domerecka. My email, soundworksmediainc@gmail.com. I also have a mix page, podcast page, that is www.mixcloud.com/domerecka. Okay? I've got a ton of mixes up there, everything from jazz to funk to house to old school hip hop. I've got something up there for those people who love the whole grown and sexy thing. Although I'm not particularly a fan of that particular label, but for those who want to identify with it, I got some really sexy R&B up there. Okay. And a lot of like really jazz, some Latin, all types. That's how I do. All it's how I've always done as a collector. You know, I've just made sure that every genre able to pretty much take on every single genre. All right. Again, number to call in 347-327-9967. Katie is here, like just waiting. Like she's watching the tables, like. She's like, Rod, please put that on. Hurry up. radio is a great format, and you know, internet radio has just grown a great deal since the first time I got on. The first time I got on internet radio was back in 1999, and you know, we would do both that and regular radio. When we used to broadcast from WGBB, I used to be on a show called Off the Top Radio. And it was just such a new thing. And the big social network was, it wasn't even MySpace, it was Black Planet and Mi Gente. So anybody out there who remembers what it was like to actually have a profile on those, yeah, I used to have one there. Gosh. Listen, the mix is almost ready. We're almost ready to get going. I'm going to wipe a little bit of dust off the platter because, you know, it'll get a little bit here and there. You know what? Snap, crackle, pop always sounds good. So you guys get ready. If you if anybody wants to go ahead and put some baby powder on the floor, so we can go ahead and start dancing. Let's get down. You know what I mean? Those who know what I'm talking about, y'all know what I'm talking about. All right? All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and go play a little something and then come back to you in about 3 and 3. All right?
Mom.
right, folks. Folks, that was Keep On Walking by CeCe Peniston. Now, are you guys ready for the vinyl? All right, we're going to go ahead and get down with that. We're going to start off with a couple of classics from Night Star from the 1980s. All right, you are listening to the stage. This is DJ Domewrecker, and let's put in some work, all right?
Oh,
All right, now, what's going on, folks? That is how I do. Okay, let me just go ahead and just run down the playlist for you guys real quick. So, in case you guys want your pen and paper so you can start finding some downloads or YouTubes or what have you. So, all right, started off the, once again, my name is DJ Dome Wrecker. Okay, DOMEWRECKA. And this segment was called Welcome to the Day. First track I played was Wet My Whistle by Midnight Star on the Solar label. Also, following that was Midas Touch, also by Midnight Star, also on the Solar label. Also dropped I Can't Go Bad by Hall & Oates. Classic. Can't even say the word classic enough for that track. Rainforest, that was the instrumental by Paul Hardcastle. One of the few dance tracks that ever got put on Profile Records. And of course, Profile Records, everybody knew about Run DMC being on that label. For the most part, it was a big rap label, but it also did have a lot of dance material. But Paul Hardcastle's Rainforest was probably the most famous of all of them. Everything She Wants by Wham, featuring George Michael, of course, 1984. Who can forget just how great that act was? Him as a singer, how great the album was with Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go and all that, but Everything She Wants was just the best track out of all of them. I played a track that most of you probably never heard, which is actually the original version of Michael Jackson's PYT, sung by Michael Jackson. This was the U-Turn demo edit. Real quick, the original version of it was rejected by Quincy Jones and was replaced by what we all know. But elements of what you heard, this is what originally that song was supposed to have been. Of course, I played Soul Makossa by Mano Dibango, early Afrobeat, 1972. And we ended it off with Housequake by Prince, about 1986. Very rarely played these days, but as funky as funk could possibly be. All right, well, listen, of my segment, I enjoy playing for you guys. Up next is Monster Miles. We're going to talk sports, and a lot happened in sports recently. Yeah. And let me just, while Miles gets ready, let me just make sure I introduce Jai Music's latest material girl. And this is Katie Barnett and friends.
Baby.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Yo, what's good? This is your boy, Monster Miles. I'm in charge of sports, but before we begin with these lovely sports going on right now, let me give a shout-out to a few artists I know, to my homies MC, C. Moles, Glack, Todd, one of the illest lady MCs right now that I've heard, Miss Crystal Meth. Shout out to all of y'all right now. Y'all doing your thing. All right, so let's get to the so-called playoffs, which was fixed from the jump. How do you give the Heat the Bucks in the first round of the playoffs? Really? One of the trashiest teams in the NBA against one of the best teams. It was fixed. I mean, you give Knicks, the Celtics. Celtics were okay for us this year because they didn't have Rondo. Why? Because he tore his ACL. If you gave us the Heat the first round, we would have beat them. I don't care what y'all say. Y'all can say Knicks suck. Y'all can say LeBron is better than Carmelo. It could be a fact, but at the same time, LeBron is more consistent than Melo. Matt's a streaky guy, but also at the same time, he's a great player. He actually became a better ball handler and a better team player this year than over the years. In my opinion, LeBron is the Jay-Z of the NBA right now because refs love him. And you could just poke him or accidentally push him, and he will go to the foul line. Why? Y'all didn't do anything to him. If you trip the guy, I don't care. Let him do whatever. And we both knew the Bulls were not beating the Heat just because they did not have Derrick Rose, because he tore his ACL. Really, why do y'all set yourself up for fail in the NBA right now? Now, also Pacers against the Knicks. Pacers, don't get me wrong, they're a good team. Knicks played their hearts out too, except for J.R. Smith, who was partying all the time. He's still a great player. He won 6 men a year. We all know that. But at the same time, the refs favored the Pacers because they called a lot of BS calls on the Knicks throughout the whole series. Now it's Pacers against the Heat. Well, Heat lost one game to them, so they're up 2-1. I'm praying out of all things to make it right now. Please let the Pacers beat the Heat. You know they don't deserve it again. The big D-Wade, Bosh, and LeBron, that was a setup from the jump. Soon as LeBron was leaving the Cavaliers, we all knew that. It was no contest of which team LeBron was coming to. If he came to New York, everybody would jump on the Knicks bandwagon. But no, he's on Heat. So everybody's going to jump on that bandwagon. Why do you follow the man? Why? Yes, he's a great player. I'll admit that. I don't like him personally because he's cocky. He doesn't have a reason to be. I'm sure a lot of kids out here playing street ball and everything could beat him. But like I said, he's the Jay-Z of the NBA because when Jay-Z puts out a record, it's automatically a hit. Why? Because it's just him on it. Unlike if you put Eminem on a record right now. Yes, he's considered, well, in my opinion, he's considered a better rapper than Jay-Z right now. But y'all will disagree with me because Jay-Z's the best artist alive right now. Lies. Y'all just put the bandwagon too. I don't care. Jay-Z's a great rapper, don't get me wrong, but I'm not a fan. I will bump to some of his songs, but I will not bump to every song he comes out with. Please, be normal. Join a different team than the Heat. Like, stop hopping on that bandwagon. Y'all Heat fans get me so mad. Now, matter of fact, the Heat fans get me mad, but y'all LeBron fans push me over the edge. Talking about he's the greatest next to Jordan. No, he's not. Stop comparing him to Jordan. please, don't do that to yourself. Y'all gonna make yourself look foolish one day. Okay, so let me get off them because I'm just mad all over again. So in the Western Conference Finals right now, we got the Spurs and Grizzlies. Who knew the Grizzlies would beat OKC? I didn't. I was hoping to see OKC against the Spurs again. But once again, Russell Westbrook out, and Grant wasn't holding it down by himself. And as we could tell, Durant's a great player, don't get me wrong, but he sucked in the playoffs. You're supposed to be better than Westbrook. You're supposed to be good without your star player next to you. But you sucked without him. Really, Durant, I want to see you beat LeBron. Please, I want to see anybody beat him. If the Heat go to the finals again, I'm praying it's against the Spurs so they would just crush him. Break a leg, something, please. I'm hoping. I know that's wrong to hope on someone, but I dislike the man that much. But, alright, so let me get off these lovely NBA teams right now. But, like I was saying, though, New York has 6 teams. I don't know why. For hockey, you got the Islanders and Rangers. Islanders go that way. They suck. They were out. Okay. Rangers are the most favorable team. Then you got the Brooklyn Nets and New York Knicks. When the Nets came to Brooklyn, everybody jumped on that bandwagon. Why? Because Jay-Z owns 0.1% or even less than that. And they sucked. I don't care what people say. They made it to the first round of the playoffs. Yay them. I don't care. They weren't making it to the second round. It's their first year. I'm sure they're going someplace else now because they were just horrible. And they don't belong in New York. They should have just stayed in Jersey. Then you got baseball. You got that's the Yankees. Who's the most favorable team? Yankees. Why? Because you got Jeter. You got A-Rod. You got such great players on that team. They're overpaid, but yet they're the best team. Then you got football. You got Jets and Giants. Okay. Whoever said the Jets were better than the Giants, please sit down. Please. Giants are the most favorable team. They're more consistent than the Jets, and we have less turnovers than the Jets in a heartbeat. Every time they go against each other, who wins? Giants. Who goes to the playoffs more? Giants. Jets got lucky by going to the championship, 2 years in a row, but yet they didn't make it to the Super Bowl. When was the last time the Jets made it to the Super Bowl? Anyone know the answer to that one? Because I don't. I don't care personally. They just trash. Giants, on the other hand, I'm just hoping they go to the Super Bowl this year. They got the talent. We just need Victor Cruz back. Because right now they're fighting over contracts. Because Victor Cruz wants that whole first wide receiver type money. And they feel he doesn't deserve it. They want Hakeem Nicks over him. But Victor Cruz is much better than Hakeem Nicks, my personal opinion. Got a call in real quick, so hold on real quick. Hello? Hello? Okay, so I guess I didn't feel like talking because they would just get shut down. But let me stop. I'm a controversial type person, as y'all could tell. I love the people who got the opinions of me because I like to argue with them and just, well, Katie's over here telling me debate and argue, same difference to me. I'm in college. We get it straight right now. But like I was saying, who knows what's going to happen this offseason for any team. Knicks, step your game up. Heat, go sit down, please. Win another ring. Please. I don't want that. Nobody wants that. Well, I know I don't. And a lot of New Yorkers don't want to see you go back-to-back championship. How fixed is that? Y'all really say that's not a fixed NBA right now? Uh-oh, like I'm hearing LeBron hurt or something, so hopefully it's after four games. Four. You step on the sneaker. It's a foul. Really? That's fixed. Please call in and let me know how y'all feel about the Heat. Because I can't stand it. I don't know why y'all are standing all in New York. Y'all should be a Knicks fan. Like I said before, if LeBron was on the Knicks, they'll be like, oh, Knicks are the best team. They're going to the championship. Yada, yada. But no. Look at the Lakers. They were a great team. But what happened to their star player? Torn ACL. What is going on? Why are all the good players, except LeBron, getting torn ACLs? I'm sorry. I know that's mean to say, but it's just how I feel. I despise him. I respected him during the point before he came to Miami because he was more humble. But ever since that one ring, he's cocky. Why? It's one ring. Jordan got like 6 to 7. Kobe has 4 or 5. Shaq even has more. Shaq wasn't even a good free throw shooter, but yet he got more rings. How is that possible? Should I compare other players to LeBron right now?
Let me see.
Derrick Rose, even though he doesn't have a ring, I still respect that man more than LeBron. Tyson Chandler, I respect more than LeBron. He has a ring too. But difference between Tyson Chandler and LeBron, Chandler deserved it with the Mavericks. They actually worked hard towards it. They played fair. They weren't a favorable team to make it into the finals of Knicks. But Miami is. Anyone you ask, who's going to make it to the finals? They're all going to say Miami. Why? Who knows? Hopefully, Spurs beat the Grizzlies, even if we know they will, because Grizzlies are a tricky team, and I don't know why they put them up against a better team when you got Tony Parker and you got Tim Duncan. Even though Tim Duncan is old, he still has so much potential for the Spurs, and the Spurs know it too. That's why they're not going to let them in anytime soon. And for the Knicks, people may have felt that we were lucky by making it to the second round. Now, we didn't get lucky. We had more veteran players on our team that taught the younger is how to work together. If we didn't have people like Jason Kidd, Kenyon Martin, Marcus Camby, even Tyson Chandler on the team, we would not know how to unite and play together. Look at how many people shot off the bench. Even Shumpert, who tore his ACL last season, he came back hard. He was hungry. He wanted that ring. But no, we had to face the Pacers and get knocked out. It's all good. I give the Knicks the East Conference Finals next season. Will they make it to the finals? I don't know. They have the potential, but it's just a fact. You got to stick two star players next to Melo, and that's hard to fix right now because you don't know who will fit in best. During the playoffs, y'all decided to go with Melo and Smith. Yes, that was a great combination, but that didn't work apparently. Then people don't know how Stoudemire and Melo will work together. We've seen them play without each other. They're great. They're both one of the best players on the team. But at the same time, they just have to combine their talents and learn to work together. I don't know how they lost to the Pacers, though. I'm still questioning that. I don't know how to have made it to the playoffs. They did not have made it at all. And then I was hearing the Pacers coach talking smack about the Knicks, talking about the Heat are more of a challenger and smart ball players. No, the Heat are not smarter ball players. It's pure luck. You have so many other players than LeBron. If LeBron wasn't on the Heat, who will actually become a Heat? If LeBron went to the Bulls, everybody would be a Bulls fan. If they're not, you would have to respect players on the Heat by themselves. Bosh, I don't know where he came from. He needs to go back to Jurassic Park. D-Wade, I respect to the fullest. Chalmers, don't get me started. Then you've got back there with Big O. He can hear every team play from the bench, so that's also why he makes all of those threes. No one could start with him that way. Got Haslam, who's been on Heat forever, so I got to show him some type of respect. Then you also have LeBron. Should not be on them. Go sit down. If Heat fans are listening, please go sit down for a while. Like, back. Enjoy a drink or two. Go home to your kids. He don't want you. But let me stop hating on him. We're going on a break real quick. We'll be back in a second.
On the Edge. Real talk about real issues.
So now we're back. I know y'all been rant about LeBron for a while. I'm sorry. I just hate the man. I'm sorry. I know hate is a strong word, but that's the only word I could really come up with, being nice about him. I could say other words, but I'm not allowed to. So I'm about to get in trouble, so let me stop. Anyway, for NFL, who's the most favorable team to go to Super Bowl next year? People feel it's Ravens. Some say 49ers. Some even want the Redskins. I want the Giants, even though we know Giants are more likely, but hey, we all know that. We all know the truth. But the teams we know that aren't going to make it, Jets, the Eagles, the Cowgirls, Cowboys. Oh, food is there. Sheesh. Now you can tell I don't pay to that many people in the NFL. They should not be. The NFL is underpaid compared to the NBA. You look at the NBA, you get $100 million contract. Someone's ACL. They still guarantee that. someone gets hurt on the football field, they get half the money or none at all. How wrong is that? Some people may feel it's fair because we play 82 games in the NBA season. So what? We play 16 games in NFL, but football is more likely you're going to get injured easily. And you're letting star players sit out. With a hurt ankle in NBA, getting $100 million still? Someone tears the ACL, they still guarantee that $200 million, $60 million. When you hurt your shoulder in football, you're guaranteed nothing. Why? NFL should be paid a lot more than basketball players. I'm sorry, I'm a basketball fan, but I'm more diehard of a football fan than basketball. I grew up watching the Jets. Don't ask me if I turned into a Jets fan. My grandmother wanted me to turn into a Jets fan, but I went the opposite way. Also, rest in peace to my grandfather. He's a diehard Knicks fan. I wanted to see the Knicks go far for him. They're going to make it. I still have the faith in them. They just need to work harder and come united instead of playing by themselves and shooting the ball whenever. As for Western teams right now, OKC, pray Westbrook gets better by next season. Pray. Durant, go work on free throws, three-pointers, your layups, your dunks, work on everything. You're a great player, but you're not as good without Westbrook. You guys didn't even need Harden. And Harden was a great player for OKC until he went to the Rockets. But where did the Rockets get knocked out? First round. Where did the Brooklyn Nets knock them out? First round. And they were some favorable New York team make it further than the Knicks. People, Brooklyn just came here. They were not going to finals. They were not going to the Eastern Conference Finals. They weren't even going to the second round. When you just start playing as a team, you develop history, chemistry with each other. They had no chemistry. They just had money in their eyes. They weren't hungry for that championship. Next year, they're still in Brooklyn. And that's a strong possibility that they won't be. Well, in my opinion, they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be placed in Brooklyn, but if they go to the playoffs next year, I get them maybe a second round. If they go against a whack team in NBA, please set up the schedule much better next year. Please. Especially when it comes to the playoffs. The Knicks and Heat should have played first round. Knicks beat them 2 out of 3 games during the regular season. I know playoffs are bigger than the regular season. But at the same time, you see the potential we have against the Heat. And that was one game we have no. So that says a lot. They're lucky. But you put them against WAG teams first. Make their schedule harder. Put them against the best teams in the world. Well, in the NBA right now. Which I don't even know who's the best teams right now, because Celtics, yeah, they've been out the run for a while. Evan Garnett and Pierce together. They old. They using Kane soon. They deserve. Well, people, it was nice talking to your boy, Monster Miles. Enjoy your evening. Thank you for tuning in for the first show. I will continue with my famous personality for y'all next time you tune in. I love y'all. Thank you again.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is from all on behalf of all of us here at the OTE team. We'd like to say thank you very much for tuning in. We hope that all of the segments that we're bringing here bring to you will touch your lives positively somehow, be it the lifelines to touch something that you've seen in your community, the sports talk to make you laugh or enrage you enough to call in and participate, Rodney Domrecker Williams' wonderful genius spin on the music machines. I really hope that you will tune in again with us. We will be looking forward to hearing from you. Possibly if you have any topics, you can email us at info@outlook.com. I will be posting all of the contact information and the different links to the Facebook page on the Facebook of On the Edge or the KBA Publicist radio page, and I will be posting the show's official website link so you can get to the forums. Any of you that have an upcoming business you would like to market, you will go to the website show, which I will be, like I said, posting on the Facebook pages. And we will definitely market it for you. Follow the instructions, because it's your business. We need a picture of your product, or we need a little explanation of your business so we know what we're posting. Okay? And anything that you would like to request of Mr. Domrecker, you can send him that email too, and I'm almost sure he'll try to mix it in there somewhere. As for Miles, if you want to have something to say to him, you can definitely tune in on that one. Now, tomorrow's segment will be on the line, will be about our church leaders and community leaders responsible. Or what role do they play in the breakdown of our community? Tomorrow we will introduce our movie review segment with Lady Elaine Nieves, Lady Diamond. And Jai Music will have her debut and all about Jai section on a session on the Turn Up segment with Jai Music. Tune in tomorrow, folks, and we hope to God that this different for you. So on that note, we'll be leaving you, and we would like you to please try to make a difference out there. You know, take a turn in the difference, however relevantly small, it may be a big difference to someone in the future. So get out there, be blessed, and be a blessing. Thank you.
You're listening to